Good morning. Pay attention, all. Notice in your bulletins what's going on today. Sunday school is 10:45, and Tuesday's ladies' Tuesday is the ladies' Bible study. So, people involved there, take notice. Prayer meeting Wednesday night. Crusaders Thursday. Also, you notice in here for the Crusaders, they need some pop and some snacks. So if you can help out there, and also a game leader. So if you want to bring pop and play games, there's your chance. Also, the ladies' fall tea in here. There's a notice in there. And we need to start thinking of the Harvest Day offering. At the October 3rd meeting, business meeting, we'll be deciding where the harvest offering goes. So be thinking and praying about that. And if you have ideas, let Pastor or one of the deacons know, and we'll vote on it then. There's information on the back. Also, on October 3rd, there'll be the fellowship dinner, followed by the quarterly business meeting. Got a couple thank you notes. To members of Baptist Christian Church, thanks so much for supplying the hamburgers, the hot dogs, and the buns for the 2010 Bike-a-thon. You have also graciously supplied us with backpacks and other school supplies, and we have been blessed by your generosity towards Baptist Children's Home. Thank you for serving along with us to meet the needs of the children and the families. Thank you. This is Jerry Grafton, and it's from the Baptist Children's Home. And also, this says, with special thanks to the church family and friends, thank you for making our 50th wedding anniversary special. We are thankful to all who were able to come and celebrate our special occasion. Your cards and thoughtfulness were greatly appreciated. In Christian love, Junior and Sandy Swartzel. And also, the memory verse for this week is Psalms 119, verse 108. Accept, O Lord, the willing praise of my mouth, and teach me your laws. Thank you.
Good morning. Good to see you this morning. We're glad that you're here to be a part in worship with us this morning. And trust that everything will be pleasant for you, and you'll hear what the Lord has to say to you this morning. Sarah Masters has a new address. She just moved down the street a little bit, but her new address is on the board out there, and you need to pick one of those up if you'd like to correspond with her. And then last Sunday, we found this nice-looking pair of ladies' sunglasses. Does anybody recognize them? Would you say it if you did? Okay. They won't fit me, so they're laying right here. If they belong to you, come and claim them, please. And you can have them back because the sun will come out again. Oh, well, really. There's a song about that, I think, tomorrow or something. You can see the things that are going on. Florence Masters has a new phone number. And she has some little cards that have that phone number on it. And so if you'd like to have one, go see her, and she'll kind of tell you what's going on there and how it'll help her. Okay? Dirk.
We want to thank the wiring folks again for letting us have their cookout last week. We all had a really good time. We had a couple of outdoor contests last week. It was our first time for that. One of them is going to be an ongoing thing every year. We want to have an archery shoot for the adults. Anybody can participate in it. And we came up with a little traveling trophy, something that we could give out to the winner of that archery contest, that the winner would bring it back the next year and re-enter the contest and hopefully try to take that trophy home with them again, or if someone beats them, they have to turn it the winner. And Pastor Rich won that this year. He has that. The second little contest we had was a fishing pole casting contest. We threw a little inner tube out in Dave's pond, and we tried to cast a hookless bait into that inner tube. And Nate Johnson was the winner of that. If Nate, if you want to come up this year.
Let's pray together, please. Our great God and Heavenly Father, thank you for the blessing of this day, and thank you for the privilege of being together as a family in Christ. We ask you, Father, today to help us draw nearer to you, and we pray that as the word is opened, your Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts. We thank you for the privilege of crying to God, Father. Thank you for all that you have done in our salvation. Thank you for the way you have ministered to us in these past days. And thank you for the overwhelming blessing and goodness and grace and mercy that you continually shower upon us. All of this is in your honor to praise and glorify you. And our Father, we thank you for the privilege of being able to share our tithes and offerings today. And we do so to watch you further your kingdom here on earth. Thank you again. Come and control every part of this service. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's stand for a reading of the word. If you don't feel comfortable standing, that's fine. Our scripture today comes from Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 13. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. May God add his blessing to the wording of his reading of his word. May continue standing, please. Thank you.
Let's bow in prayer together, please. Our Father in heaven, thank you again for this opportunity to be still before you and let you remind us that you are God. Thank you for the privilege of opening the word of truth and knowing that it will speak to our hearts as you have prepared both our hearts and the word to do. Thank you for all of your provision in these past days. Thank you for what we have learned. Thank you, Father, for all that you have given. We thank you that we have the opportunity to become strong in Christ and that you have given us a full armor that we might daily be prepared to stand against the attack of our enemy. Oh, Father, how we pray that you would help us to be strong in these last days, how you would help us to be wise. And we pray, our Father, that you would help us to have a burden for the lost and to see them through your eyes, to love them with your love. We need the courage, Father, to speak when that is necessary, and so we ask you to empower us in that way. We know that there are those in our number this morning that are carrying burdens of different kinds, and you know them perfectly. And we know that you have the way planned through the valley and will lead them to the green pastures and still waters. So we pray, our Father, that you will speak to their hearts, that you will reassure them, and that you will guide them. And we thank you for the changed lives that we see. We thank you for those who are coming to know you as Savior. We thank you, Father, for all the good things that you are doing. And now we pray that it would be the Holy Spirit who has absolute, total control over our thinking. And we pray that you will use this time to prepare us to walk for you in this coming week. We love you, our Father, and we thank and praise and honor and glorify you in the matchless and eternal and saving name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Take your Bibles, please, and open them to Ephesians chapter 6. Take out your notes. And let's begin. We've studied Paul's first concluding command to Christians, where he says to be strong in the Lord in his mighty power. And we understand that in order to be strong, we are to be, or that's our condition, that's our very existence, strong in his power and in his might. And we can only do that when we come to the point in our lives where we say, take absolutely every bit of me, self, out of the way, and you be God, and you work through me. It's nothing about me, it's everything about you. And when we get out of the way and we say, God, you do this through me, whatever it is, then God can work through us and give us power that he couldn't otherwise give. See, if we come to that point where we say, I want to be completely out of the way, then we can never say, I won. We can never say, I got my way. We can never say, this is of me. And until we come to that point, we're missing a lot of that power. See, it's like Paul told the Ephesians in chapter 2. It's not of works. Our salvation is all of grace and every part of it. We do when we allow God to direct our lives and we let him work through us in whatever way that might be, whether that's talking to someone, whether that's dealing with something personal, whether it's a relationship. Doesn't make a difference what it is. We let God guide us. I used the example last week of being in a river and carried along by the current. And we let God's power carry us along and direct us. And now we come to Paul's second concluding command. And I like the way Scripture always tells us what God wants us to do in the order God wants us to do it. You see, until we're strong, until we can let God work through us, then we're not ready to put on the armor. It's kind of like we're trying to do all this in our own power. And from the beginning, Paul has told us the doctrines of our salvation, those great doctrines of justification, of grace through faith, of the legal part of our salvation, how Christ took care of that, the idea of being one in Christ, how Jews and Gentiles were brought together, and we're one. And because that's true, we all help one another. We've all been gifted. God never saved anybody to just let them sit soaking sour. And now Paul says, put on the full armor of God. And when we study Scripture and we see things like this, we don't just read what the words are, but we listen to what God says, and then we study and we learn when and how he says to do it. Think about this for a minute. Most of the time, we get in trouble with the Lord when we discover that we have tried to do things our way. Or we've tried to take something out of Scripture and say, well, I'm going to tailor that to my life, where I am, how I am, and all of that. And beloved, we can't do that. We don't tailor God's Word to us. We tailor us to God's Word. That's the whole point. And when we let God choose what, when, where, how, and the way, and we say, okay, there it is, I'll walk in it, then God has the opportunity to make us more like Christ, to give us more power to be successful. See, God knows everything. Every second of our lives has been planned from the beginning. God does not acquire knowledge. God is knowledge. God knows everything, and he's known it forever. Wouldn't that be cool? God's a 4.0 student. And he doesn't have to study. He doesn't have to worry. He's always perfect. And you know what? God knows exactly where you are. God knows exactly where he wants to take you. And he knows exactly how to get you there step by step. Sometimes it works out different than you would like for it to. Sometimes it works out the way you would. You just have to be willing to accept as long as it's always God's way. So let's look at this putting on the armor or dressing for battle. This is important. And I want to begin with every Christian's preparation. Every Christian's preparation. Now, these two commands, be strong and put on, have something in common with every command in Scripture. Every command that God gives us from the original ten, from the first one, don't eat, all have something in common, and that is they require us to do something. We have to take action. Sometimes Christians get the idea that once I'm saved, God does everything he wants to do. The amount that I grow, what I learn, the interest that I have in Scripture, all of those things God does, and he gives me all of that stuff. The more he gives me, then I guess the better Christian I am. And Satan just loves it when we think like that. Because God never forces anything about his will or his word or his desires on us. The reason is God wants us to love him by our own choice. So we love him, obey him, serve him, learn, whatever it is, we do it of our own free will. Because we're created like God to have a free will. That's probably the first and driving truth about our creation in the image of God. And when we choose to do, then what that is saying is, going back to that first command to be strong, okay, God, this is what you want done. This is bigger than me, so I'm going to take my hands off. You take the wheel, and I will do the things you prompt me to do. You're prompting me to read. Okay, I'll read. You're prompting me to be interested, to study, to kind of talk about this, think about this. Okay, I'll do that. You're prompting me to change some things in my life. All right, do that. And when I start to think a wrong way, remind me that you've told me how to think. When I start to act a wrong way, remind me that you've told me how to act. And I'll take my hands off and let you give me the power to choose to do what you want me to do. And so the idea is, whether it's putting on the armor, whether it's being strong, whether it's walking worthy, whether it's being patient, whether it doesn't make a difference what it is. You and I have to decide, that's what I want. That is the desire of my heart. So I want to put on the armor. I want to walk worthy. I want to honor the Sabbath and keep it holy. I want to think as Christ wants me to think. Once we get to that point, God says, let's go. I've got everything you need right here ready for you, all packaged up, tailor-made to work for you, so that when it's done, you are just exactly the way I have designed you to be. How's that? Paul tells us in Romans 8, like Christ. He tells us here, we're predestined. In chapter 1, remember, we're predestined to be holy and blameless in his sight. That's how he's designed for us to be. the power of God that works through a saved heart can cause that heart to allow God the complete freedom to do His will through that life. And see, that's what Jesus taught all the way through Scripture. In Matthew chapter 26 and about verse 39, Jesus says this, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me." You say, now, how do you eat that? What Jesus is saying is the thing that gives me life, the things that sustains me, the thing that drives me on is doing the will of my Father. In John chapter 4, He says the same thing. As a matter of fact, in John chapter 4 and John chapter 5, there is a whole dissertation on doing the will of God. And Jesus says, this is what I'm all about. I don't do anything the Father doesn't tell me to do. In other words, I don't do anything on my own. I don't do anything the way I want it done. I do it exactly what He wants. And our preparation is to do, is to get involved. See, we can't just sit and say, well, the leadership will do everything. No, they won't. Go back to Ephesians 4 and read right there at the end of the chapter where Paul says, we are all designed. We'll no longer be infants talked back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. Now watch in verse 16 of chapter 4. From Him, the whole body joined together and held together by every supporting ligament, that would be you and I, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Okay? So God's designed something for us to do. And listen carefully. Listen carefully. That's what God wants us to do. And God brings us to the point where we say, this is the thing that I want you to do. This is what I want done in your life. We are to walk worthy. We are to imitate God. We are to live at peace with one another. We are to live different from the world. We are to put away the old life. We are to submit to one another, and so on and so on. And here we're told to be strong in God's mighty power. Then we're told to put on the armor. And listen carefully. You don't ever read in Scripture anywhere where it says, take the armor off. You put it on, and you leave it on until God calls you home to heaven. Okay? You know why? Because Satan never quits attacking. Never. Never. And many of you know, many of you right here in this room know, as soon as God prompts you with any kind of a thought that says, let's go a step deeper, let's go on to the next level, let you and I move forward, it seems like Satan's got a whole reserve of demons that he brings to drive you nuts with the opposite idea, right? He beats you to death. And he just floods your mind with thoughts until it'll almost put you down. Isn't that right? If you don't want to experience that, stay out of the book. But there are a lot of people that can talk to you about that. See, that's why God says in this part, let me use my power. I'll do that. I can help you win that. And then he says, now, let me use my power. The next thing I want you to do is get dressed for battle. I want you to put on this full gospel armor because I want you protected. I know the enemy perfectly. I know what he's bringing to you. I know where he's going to work on you. I know how he's going to do it. I know where you're weak. And if you'll let me, I will take you through the battle. But beloved, you have to put on the armor. And what that means is you have to say to God, I will do it. I will do it. When I was at Grand Rapids, Dr. Wilbert Welch was the president. And he explained the Christian life like this. He said the Christian life is a divine human cooperative, meaning it is God and me working together to let God accomplish his perfect will through me. Letting God guide me, letting God empower me, letting God teach me. And the preparation is getting dressed. Now, if you and I could read this in the Aramaic Greek in which Paul wrote it, we would see right away that this command is written in the aorist middle imperative. Just like when we read English, we know all the parts of speech, don't we? We say, oh, that's why that's good. Yeah, me too. That's kind of what I thought. And here's what all that means. Here's what all that means. Paul is saying this. Put the armor on, put all of it on, and put it on now. It is urgent that you do it. You cannot sit around and think about it. You cannot choose what parts you want and what parts you don't. Because every day that passes, every minute that passes, is another minute that you're exposed to the wiles of the devil. And by the way, just so you know, we're going to look at just a couple of times. We're going to look at why we should be afraid of Satan. And we're going to look at what his primary purpose is among Christians. And I don't want you to be afraid of that. I want you to pray and get ready for that, because Satan hates it when he's exposed. But if you understand that, it helps. But in order to do that, you've got to have on the gospel armor. If he can make us put off until tomorrow what God wants us to do today, he knows that we lose one day of the power of God in our life. We lose one day of ministry. We lose one day of righteousness. We lose one day of victory. We lose one opportunity or more to witness to the lost. And we don't even happen to open our mouths half the time. Then tomorrow, what he does is he comes to us and says, hey, do you realize that yesterday God put you in a situation where you could have done something for him and you didn't do it? How does that make God feel? Are you going to do the same thing today? And then you say, why, no, I'm not. And just as soon as you begin to take a step, he says, now be careful. Remember yesterday? Remember you missed it then? You were afraid then, you're afraid now. What's changed? Oh, yeah, that's right. And it's a vicious cycle. Now, listen. The really bad thing about this is it doesn't mean that your whole life is a total flop. Satan knows that there are a lot of parts of our lives. And you know what? You can be as faithful as anybody could be in reading Scripture and having your quiet time with God. And then going about your daily business and being involved in that, and just for a minute, you forget. And he gets you. It can be just one area of your life. God never comes to us and says, okay, today you got saved. Now, don't do anything you did before, ever again. Now, listen carefully. That's the whole idea of salvation. But God understands that the way we work is we learn to do A, and when we get A down, God takes us to B, and then God takes us to C, and he builds on everything, and he builds a foundation. And those little victories that you experience in your life, I don't care how small they are, those little tiny victories, those are all the way God prepares you for the bigger events. Did I help you here? Yes. Did I help you here? Yes. Will I help you here? I don't know. This is bigger. Did I help you here? Yes. Did I help you here? Yes. Will I help you here? Well, I want you to, but God, did I help you here? Yes. Okay? And you and I have to understand that it's this constant preparation and constant putting on and leaving on of the armor that God uses. You see, when you don't do that, when you say, now's not the time, when you say, this isn't necessary, and I don't care what this is, you become a casualty of war. You get wounded. You get defeated. Sometimes, God works with us in such a way that he says, now, just stay where you are for a while. Just hold on. Sit down over here. Take a break. And let you and I work on this together. And then I'm going to help you here. And later on, we're going to move right on. When we're properly prepared to do all that God directs, then he becomes the unchallenged, unquestioned, sovereign, ruling force in our life. And so when we have the same philosophy that Jesus did, the thing that sustains me and gives me life is doing the will of God. That's it. Then we understand that we're prepared. And that's exactly what God is working toward. Now, let's look at every Christian's perspective. God prepares us, and then there is a perspective. And we need to see that at this point where we're getting dressed. The Bible says to put on the whole armor of God. When you got dressed, got up this morning, and you got dressed to come here, what made you dress the way you dressed? What you were going to do? You were coming to worship. And so you got dressed for that occasion. And tomorrow, when you get up to go to work, you might dress a little differently than you're dressed now. When you do chores around the house, surely you dress differently than you're dressed now. But what we're going to do influences how we dress. And by the way, I noticed this too. We're all completely dressed. Nobody came without socks or shoes. Well, without shoes. Nobody came without a shirt. We're all completely dressed. None of us said, well, I don't need this or that or whatever. You know why? Because that's indecent. It's improper. It's unacceptable, isn't it? And so you and I get dressed every day completely to do the job we're going to do. And we have a good idea of what that is. Isn't it interesting that we do that in our daily secular life? And so often, many Christians forget to dress in the full armor. Or they think, I don't need that. Oftentimes, they begin without the word of truth, without the breastplate of righteousness, without the helmet of salvation, without their feet being protected with what? The gospel. Now see, coming here is like being in camp. You're away from the front line now, and you're getting charged up, I hope. But when you go out tomorrow, you're going to go to war. Listen, when you leave those doors, you're going to war. And keep reading the next verse because it says you're fighting an enemy who wants to destroy you. You're fighting an enemy that is all evil. There's not a good bone in his body. Actually, there's not any bones in his body, but your perspective. Now, notice this. God says, put on my full armor. Don't try to go out and defeat the enemy in something you think will work. You put on the armor I'm telling you to put on. We don't get to pick and choose. Very quickly in Psalm 35, David kind of alludes to that when he says in the first three verses, contend, O Lord, with those who contend with me. Fight against those who fight against me. Take up shield and buckler. That's kind of an interesting picture because that shield was the full-length shield that they used in battle, and the buckler was another little shield that strapped to their arm or that they could hold with one hand. And so they've got both the full shield and then the smaller shield that they can move around to defend themselves on all sides. Turn two pages, I think he says. Arise and come to my aid. Brandish spear and javelin against those who pursue me. Say to my soul, I'm your salvation. Let me ask you something. If you just kind of memorize that, or you at least read that over every day for the next 30 days and kind of had that in your mind, how would it help you saying, hey, God, Father, you contend against those who want to hurt me. You fight for me in my stead. I'm going to do what you tell me. I'm going to take my shield and I'm going to take the armor, and then I want you to go in front and I want you to be my shield. Would that help? That's a nifty little thing to remember each day. And I know it would help you. The first perspective, if you're taking notes, you might want to write this down. The first perspective of dressing for battle is to dress completely. Dress completely. Now see, that means you need all of that stuff. That means that every day you need prayer, you need Bible study, you need quiet time with the Lord. It wouldn't hurt to put some of it in your heart. The second perspective is to use the armor God provides. Use the armor God provides. Now, while you're writing, listen to this, and then you can write this down. I read this, and it made an impact, and it's true. The Christian's battle is spiritual warfare. The Christian's battle is spiritual warfare. Got that? Now, Paul's going to explain this in detail later. It is spiritual warfare. Now, listen carefully. Here's what that means. Spiritual warfare is not a struggle against power. It is a struggle against main obtaining God's truth. Now, when we look in verse 12 at our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the powers of darkness, of this dark world and authorities. That word powers in verse 12 is a different word than not a struggle for power. That is might or position or rule. Power. Ours is not that kind of a battle. Ours is a battle to maintain truth. God's truth. Nowhere does Scripture ever originate that power begins in us. We're doing this with God's power that begins in God. And you want to remember this. The power of those rulers and evil forces was broken at Calvary. And God proved that 3 days later with the resurrection. Paul attests to that in 1 Corinthians 15 when he says, "Death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? Praise be to God that the victory has been given to us in Jesus Christ." See, we're fighting a broken enemy. But he's still got a lot of power against us because of who he is and who we are. We're to live our life in the truth and to see as ambassadors, as children of the kingdom, as those representing God. We want to give people a true picture, don't we? We want them to understand. We want them to be drawn to the Lord because of who he is. And the miracles that people see today are our changed lives. When we focus on power, we focus on self. When we focus on God, we focus on Him. We focus on submission. We focus on letting Him work through us. And so that's the third perspective, is that the Christian's warfare is a struggle to maintain truth. The Christian's struggle is to maintain truth. It's not a struggle for power. See, the mandate is be strong in the Lord's and His mighty power, not ours. No Christian can in and of themselves stand against the devil. You can't stand against Satan, beloved. You just can't do it. It's too much. So you and I are called to defend God's truth, God's way, with God's equipment. And listen. The reason that it's becoming so very hard for many Christians to stand for the truth is, first of all, they have the wrong perspective. They're not dressed. They're not prepared. They're trying to be strong in their own strength. But listen, there is an attack on the truth today like never before. All truth is being challenged. And when you take away absolute truth, you've taken away the truth of God. I think I've said before, if you think there's no such thing as absolute truth, jump off a building and see which way you go. This is still absolute truth. And by the way, this will be with us all eternity. That's pretty stable. You and I, if we get wrapped up in us, we can let the truth be distorted. But beloved, if we'll put on the armor, if we'll let God prepare us, if we'll maintain the right perspective, and we'll dress completely, then we'll be prepared to defend God's truth, God's way. Amen? Amen? Amen. Our Father, we would ask you to apply your truth, your word, to our hearts today. And we pray that you would meet with us as individuals, that we might understand all you're trying to do to prepare us every day. So, Father, would you just meet with us and encourage us, remind us of the things you've already done in our life, and just encourage us to give you more control over every part of our life every day. I pray, Father, again, that you would help us in our circles of influence with people all around us to constantly live in such a way that would cause them to ask us why we're different. What is the reason we have for the life we live? That we might share Christ with them. And please, our Father, help us to see your perspective, to understand that we are not fighting against flesh and blood, but we're fighting against spiritual forces of evil. And that we can only do that when we're fully dressed in your armor. And we pray that in these days to come, that you would remind us of these truths, and that you would at that very moment prompt us to speak up for you, or to let you have absolute control in our life. We love you, Father, and we thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.